I'm going to put you on, nephew.
Hi, Unc.
Welcome to McDonald's. Can I take your order?
Miss, I've been hitting up McDonald's for years. Now it's back. We need snack wraps.
What's a snack wrap?
It's the return of something great.
Snack wrap is back.
Run a restaurant and you learn pretty quick. The sound of a crisp fry starts way before the first bite. As delivery and to-go keeps business booming...
Order for pickup!
McCain SureCrisp fries keep orders crispy.
Hey, delivery.
After the trip, the crispiness comes through.
Mmm.
McCain SureCrisp fries. Go the distance. See how far our fries can take your business at surecrisp.com/delivery.
Looking to earn a business degree that fits your busy life? UNC Greensboro's Bryan School of Business and Economics offers flexible, fully online programs with courses as short as 7 weeks. Get the same high-quality education as you would on campus with the convenience and affordability of online learning. Explore a variety of in-demand programs. Don't wait. Apply now to start this fall. Visit bryan.uncg.edu to apply today.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in all over North America. You could be here in the South with me. You could be in the North, Northeast with our producer, Ryan Botcher, in New York City. You could be out West. You could be over the ocean. I don't know. You could be in Hawaii. Shout outs to our listeners in Hawaii, okay? Anyway, wherever you are, thank you for being here. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We talked about a lot. Trey Hendrickson not at work. Terry McLaurin not at work. Matthew Stafford's at work, but his back hurts. Carson Beck, he's not in the NFL. He wish he was. Carson Beck is like, yeah, I'm in Miami, not because of the Lamborghinis or the money, but I like the offense here in Miami. So he wishes he was in the NFL. And then we got a bunch of guys that retired. Jimmy Graham called it quits. Tyrann Mathieu said no more. I guess playing for the Saints was just too much for him to just kind of move forward with. He's like, who's the quarterback, Shuck? No thanks. And then we heard from Phil Rivers. Not today, but he recently retired as well. Hey, thank you so much to James Rapien for joining us. Covers all things Bengals for Sports Illustrated. Shamar Stewart still not at work. Yeah, they still got to deal with Trey Hendrickson. They still got to deal with Shamar Stewart. Tyreek Hill says he needs to do better. The WNBA had a ratings drop with no Caitlin Clark. Tyrese Halliburton has some thoughts about why everybody is tearing their damn Achilles. And then we even got some updates from the 49ers. We got Mike Tyson and Shaq talking about Klay Thompson. What type of conversation is this? And, of course, at the end of the show, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. If you've missed a minute or a second of the show, go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. Thank you to everybody listening live on their local Infinity Sports Network affiliates. You got Sirius XM 375. You got a smart speaker. Tell it to play the Infinity Sports Network. And if you want to call me, here's the number. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Before we went to break, we got quite a few calls about Phillip Rivers and whether or not he's a Hall of Famer. I don't think so. I don't think there are enough career accomplishments there. We can look at longevity and the accumulation of stats. That's good, but it ain't great. I think the ultimate barometer is winning. Were you great? Did you lead your team to greatness? You think about the quarterbacks that were his contemporaries. Well, they led their teams to greatness. And it's not even necessarily you must win a championship. But I think having that championship, having that longevity, being that winner, being that guy that everybody's afraid to face, I think Phil Rivers falls into another tier. Below a Tom Brady, below a Peyton Manning, below a Drew Brees, below an Aaron Rodgers. Damn it, even all things considered, he's closer to Eli Manning. And Eli Manning got two of them Super Bowls. He went out there and beat Brady. He was like, I'm Superman. Forget Clark Kent. Eli Manning went into that booth and came out and said, I'm going to bust some ass in the playoffs. Okay. I'll get some more of your calls. 888-710-4ISN. Before I do that, what's the update on Trey Hendrickson? What's the update on Terry McLaurin? Neither one of these guys went to work. Did you go to work today? If you're retired, then God bless you. Jimmy Graham and Tyrann Mathieu, they've joined you today. But if you got to work like the rest of us schmucks, these two guys didn't go to work, and they're being fined $50,000 every single day that they do not show up. Adam Peters, he runs the show for the Washington Commanders. Everybody loves Terry McLaurin, and he's getting fined $50K a day. He's also the 17th highest paid wide receiver in the game. He had 13 touchdowns last year. Jaden Daniels went out there and hooked him up. Man, he was receiving more than 1,000 yards every year playing with them bum-ass quarterbacks before they drafted Jaden Daniels. And so Adam Peters, this is what he had to say earlier today about Terry McLaurin not showing up to work in their contractual talks.
First, I think, without a doubt, I think everybody in this building values Terry very much. And we knew that coming in, and we knew that even more after spending a year with him. In terms of where we're at, we've had conversations recently, and we'll look to have some more conversations. And we're going to do everything we can in order to get a deal done.
Yeah, right, whatever. There's somebody who also didn't show up to work, Trey Hendrickson. There ain't no update on that. All we heard earlier today is that, well, we learned from him. Trey Hendrickson put a post up on social media. He's like, I'm hanging out in Florida. He just posted a photo with what appeared to be the sunrise, and he tagged it Florida. But thank you so much for letting us know you're not in Ohio. We did have a great chat, if you missed it earlier in the show, with James Rapien. He covers all things Cincinnati Bengals. He thinks ultimately a deal will get done with Trey Hendrickson. It's just a matter of when. The Bengals want him back. He wants to be a Bengal. He believes that a deal and a contract will get done. Meanwhile, on Shamar Stewart, he thinks the same exact thing. James says that, hey, this guy's a rookie. He got guaranteed money sitting right there in front of him. You know, how long is it going to be before, you know, him and his team just go ahead and give in? Duke Tobin, who's in charge of player personnel for the Cincinnati Bengals, because 89-year-old Mike Brown is the heat of boss. Duke Tobin, this is what he had to say about Shamar's holdout.
I don't blame Shamar. He's listening to the advice that he's paying for. I don't understand the advice. I don't agree with it. I'm not the one paying for it. But that's where it is. If I thought we were treating him unfairly, it would be a different story. But we're treating him fairly with all the rest of the draft picks in this year's draft.
Shots fired. Yeah, he doesn't have leverage. I mean, do you want that money or do you not want that money, man? I think both of these dudes will suit up for the Cincinnati Bengals. And we know the Bengals, they need help on defense. As I told you, if you missed that conversation that we had with James Rapien about both of these individuals and what the Bengals can do this upcoming season, go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. Hendrickson's not at work. Shamar Stewart is a rookie. Doesn't even have a contract yet. Terry McLaurin is like, I need a deal too. I ain't coming to work. And then we got an old guy. He didn't retire. But he showed up to work and he's like, my back is how I feel every other day. That guy? Well, it's Matthew Stafford. Got a sore back. He's not playing or practicing. He's 37 years old. They just gave him a 2-year, $84 million contract extension. And he's showing up to work saying, my back is tight. Sounds like a con job if you ask me. Sean McVay, he's like, man, I ain't worried about this guy's back. Listen to this.
Matthew's feeling good. He had a little bit of soreness in his back that kind of crept up when he's been throwing, feeling good. It's not anything that's necessarily new, something that he's dealt with before. Going into year 17, we were going to take a modified approach with him, kind of similar to what we did in the offseason program. And so we'll allow him to just work kind of off to the side on his own, get himself feeling as good as possible, and then he'll be ready for block two, which will really represent once we finish the 5-day acclimation period. he feels good about that. I feel good about that. And ultimately, it's about having him feel as good as possible mentally, physically, emotionally, going into year 17. And then that's where you do feel fortunate that, you know, you got a guy like Jimmy that will step in and do a great job for the first few practices. And then Matthew will be ready to roll.
A guy like Jimmy. He's referring to Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah, watching Jimmy Garoppolo is all good and fine in the in training camp, in preseason. Sean McVay, he will go gray if he has to look at Jimmy Garoppolo play in the regular season. Nobody, no human being alive. Maybe his dad, maybe him. Ain't nobody want to see Jimmy Garoppolo play. Them days are over. Matthew Stafford just taking it easy at this early portion of training camp. He woke up, he had a sore back. He'll be fine. I'm sure his wife will be on a podcast tomorrow talking about how sore his back is. That's just the way it is. Speaking of quarterbacks from Georgia, this guy is not Georgia anymore. He took about $5 million to head further south, going down to Miami. Carson Beck leaving Kirby Smart. Carson Beck with the blown up arm. Carson Beck was at ACC Media Day, and Carson Beck was asked why he decided to leave Georgia and the Bulldogs and go to Miami. And listen carefully. Listen if he mentions his girlfriend, which is maybe not his girlfriend anymore. Did he mention the money that they gave him? What about the Lamborghinis? Did any of that? Why did you leave Georgia to go to Miami? Listen.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me, obviously, was the offensive fit. As a quarterback, the OC, the scheme, the talent and guys that you're going to have around you is huge to the success and ultimately the future, A, of a quarterback, but of me, right? And this is my future, and I think that this decision is one of the better decisions I've made, and just trying to develop, you know, those relationships and that camaraderie, it's just reinforced my decision in a positive way.
In the back of his head, he's going, what do I say? Just keep on talking. What do I say? And I like it. This is one of the best decisions he's ever made. He's 23 years old. Like, what decisions have you had to make that's really that difficult? Okay, you threw the ball great in high school. You ended up on the Bulldogs, and now you went to the U. I mean, how many difficult decisions have you had to make? Come on now. They gave me more money, so I left. It's it. He had a big old chain on while he said that, too. I don't think he'd be wearing that big old chain if he was still playing for Kirby Smart. And Carson Beck, by the way, is a guy who wishes he was in the NFL. The NFL did not want him. Gave that damn ball away too many times. Now he's back in Miami hoping and praying that he can rebuild some of his draft stock so he could be the first guy carrying the clipboard next year and not the third. Or not even in the NFL at all. That's not the only thing that we got out of ACC Media Day. Oh, I like this. I like beef. I like beef. I like chicken. I like turkey. I like it all. But Rhett Lashley, this man, he took a shot today at the SEC. He's talking about the dominance right now or the coming up of the ACC. And I guess if you're out here and, you know, things have turned around a little bit for SMU, you start feeling yourself. Listen to what he had to say about the SEC.
You look at our league, we had like four 10-win teams, two playoff teams, a handful of 9-win teams, 13 bowl teams. I mean, there's just not a lot of easy wins on the schedule. And there's other leagues that claim depth, but like the SEC's had the same six schools win the championship since 1964. The same six. Not a single one has been different since 1964. It's top heavy to me. That's not depth.
Damn. I mean, we also have to factor in that there has been some changes here in the SEC. Got two teams that just came in Texas and Oklahoma. If I got to think about historically over the past, I don't know. How many years is that? 50 plus years. I think you have to be realistic in looking at the league was also smaller. The conference was smaller. People, they're just throwing shots at each other. We know the SEC is stronger than the ACC. Just take it easy. I don't know what these guys in Miami and Dallas out here smoking, but I don't think it's reality. Let's see what happens in the college football playoff outside of what? Probably Clemson getting in? Everybody else got to take a back seat and relax. Ironically, also, no big words. Not a peep about Belichick. Bacha, is he on a leash and a muzzle this week?
I think he might be there tomorrow with his girlfriend.
So. Is she gonna let him speak?
I hope so. Oh, it won't be like that interview with I forgot it was 60 Minutes.
I don't know. He's gonna be quiet. She's gonna be behind him as he conducts his press conference.
That would be pretty funny. I'm assuming that she won't actually be there, and that he'll be by himself, of course. But I wouldn't be surprised if she's at the event itself, just not on camera.
In an ideal world, she'd be following Bill Belichick around with a ruler in her hand, okay?
True.
Yep. Maybe on an episode of The Simpsons or Family Guy, but yeah, not at ACC Media Day. We'll see what happens. I'm sure Bill Belichick will be grumpy as ever. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. James is calling from Baltimore. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. James, what's up?
Hey, JR, how the brother doing tonight?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, man. So, jumping in on that Rivers conversation, I mean,
okay,
definitely not a Hall of Famer, I would say. It seems everybody agrees with that. I feel like, for me, with the Hall of Fame, is more the way I see it. It's like a preservation of the eras and the memories and the great players of the game throughout each era. That's why I also lean with you with the Eli. Like, him and Rivers they got a lot of similarities in, like, numbers and the way they played the game. But, and you brought up a point that I never even thought of when I had already thought Eli should be in the Hall of Fame, which was his Iron Man, like, the Iron Man aspect of it. And then, I mean, the two Super Bowls against, in the middle of a dynasty against Tom Brady, like, I can't really tell my story of my generation of football without bringing Eli Manning up. From him being a man into beating Brady twice and what I thought was like the greatest upset in the NFL history, when I think they were like 9-7 that year, and the Patriots were what, 18-0?
Yeah, there was an expectation that they were going to get slaughtered.
I thought so too. That's why, like, out of all the Super Bowls I've ever watched, I don't even know if I could go through them and tell you where I was and what happened, but I'll never forget that one. I remember my man had on a New York Giants all this gear, and he was betting anybody that wanted to bet, and I thought he was insane. And he won. It was crazy, and I'll never forget that. So I'm fooling in on Eli Manning being in there, and
That is one of the greatest games I have ever seen in my life. And I know it might be a reverse. Yeah, and I think it might be a reverse for a lot of people, because I think the majority of the country was not a fan of Tom Brady. But another one of the greatest games I've ever seen is when he came back and he beat the Falcons. So, like, there's certain games, and there's certain guys that win when the stakes are the highest. And Eli took his game to another level. And it was quite ironic, because he always looked like the goofy little brother of Peyton. But when the going got tough, this dude was out there whooping ass. So you got to give him.
I think that's part of Eli's allure. Like, yes. Like, he's part of the story of our generation. He's a man and brother. He had the drama on his draft day. He beats Brady twice. And then if Joe Namath's in the Hall of Fame for calling his shot in Super Bowl III, because if you look at his numbers, I bet you they're similar to Eli's.
Oh, yeah, no, not all. We know back when Joe Namath played, they ran the football, but no, there was nothing sterling about his numbers ultimately, and then his career was cut short. I mean, damn it, coming out of Alabama, Joe Namath's knees were shot, and so he was basically on borrowed time that entire time, but the fact that they went out there and beat the Colts, and then the fact, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. And he was
What's your opinion on Namath, if you ever get a chance? In time on this show to do it, because my father hates him and swears he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, but I disagree.
I got no problem with Joe Namath. I will tell you this. Joe Namath is very – I'm telling him personally, and I know about the Susie Colbert thing. I have met Joe Namath. I have spoken to him and his daughter. They are very sweet and kind people. So personally, I like him. But I think given the era and what he did and beating the Colts, I think he deserves to be in a hall. And I also think I think his swagger and who he is, he helped bring some personality to the league. I know he's out there wearing the stockings and doing his thing, but he was very braggadocious. And I give, he's a winner. That's the thing for me. Are you a winner? Did you help your team win? Joe Namath, for everything about him, he was no punk. It's really that simple. Hey, thank you so much, James, for calling from Baltimore. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. And we're going to take a break when we come back. We have so much to do. I did mention the WNBA and its ratings. We got some words from Tyrese Halliburton. We got Shaq and Mike Tyson talking about Klay Thompson. What type of world is this? Mike Tyson on Klay Thompson? What is this? And, of course, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. So we got a lot to do. It's the JR Sport Brief Show coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
Shout outs to everybody in that hospital. I hope the patients are actually getting care. Don't listen to the radio. Help the people out, okay? Seriously, shout out to all the healthcare workers, people that spend their days, their nights, first shift, second shift, third shift, people out there helping folks out. Shout outs to you, helping people. I like people that help people make the world a better place for you and me and the entire human race. Shout outs to Michael Jackson. Anyway, 888-710-4ISN. It's 888-710-4ISN. I did mention this. It's been talked about quite a bit over the past few days. You know, Caitlin Clark, her groin injury, how aggressive they are, the referees, they suck in the WNBA, the players, and they're trying to negotiate a new CBA. They're wearing T-shirts before the All-Star game saying, pay us what you owe us. It's just, it's a wild time for the WNBA. But with Caitlin Clark having to drop out of the three-point contest on Friday, and then having to drop out of the All-Star game, even though she was one of the captains, the ratings for the All-Star game on Saturday night, they were down 36%. I am in that 36% because I was not going to watch if Caitlin Clark was not playing. I did not watch. Now, credit to them. This was the second highest most watched All-Star game ever. Good for them. I give them credit. Maybe they can get it together and come to a conclusion on what they want out of a new CBA, how much money they want out of the basketball-related income. Good luck. But I really think that we're going to probably have a lockout. It's going to get ridiculously messy because I think the players can't necessarily stand each other. I think their biggest bargaining chip is Caitlin Clark. I don't know if all of the players are in a space to kind of, you know, move out the way and let her, or actually recognize the fact that she's a big reason why the league has grown the way it has. She's not the only reason, but she's probably the major reason. And I just think it's going to get real ugly and real messy. I don't know if we're going to have a WNBA season that starts on time next year. And I don't know if the players are just going to ultimately give in because they need the money. I don't think the players want to go overseas the same way that they have in the past. So good luck to all of them. Good luck to Caitlin Clark on her recovery. She's still out with that groin issue. Speaking of out, there's another star in Indianapolis. He was on Pat McAfee earlier today. His name is Tyrese Halliburton. We saw this man go down, blew out his Achilles in game 7 of the NBA Finals. Ultimately, we know the Thunder went out there and won that championship. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander won everything imaginable this past season. And Tyrese Halliburton, he's basically rehabbing. And apparently, he believes that everybody that's tearing these Achilles, him, Damian Lillard, Tatum, he thinks that it's just a matter of bad luck.
There's like a notion when guys get injured or when this has happened so many times that everybody thinks that they have the answer as to why this is happening. Everybody thinks we play too many games, play too many minutes. All those things could be true, but I don't think that that is what is causing these injuries. Last season, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think there was a single Achilles tear last season, and it was the same amount of minutes, same amount of games, right? Guys didn't suddenly get larger in the course of a year, so I don't think that anybody has necessarily the answer. I think injuries are just bad luck sometimes, and that's just what happened. But I think that that's just what happens in sports sometimes. You know, I think there's no way to really control it, but everybody has the answer, it seems like.
Yeah, I think if you look at, I don't think anybody has an answer. I think a lot of folks are pretty much set on, hey, what the hell is the answer? I think that's the larger issue, because we can look at things in a vacuum and just go, oh, well, nobody blew out their Achilles last year, and now we got people blowing out their Achilles this year. That might be more of a coincidence. But if you look at the past several years, there are more folks just out here tearing their Achilles. This isn't something you heard a lot about. If I got to go back to prior generations, I mean, I could think about Dominique Wilkins, you know, tearing his Achilles, but it wasn't somebody blowing it out every single year. It wasn't, you know, Kevin Durant kind of blowing his out. We don't know why guys are having these calf strains, and then boom, pop goes the Achilles. So it has to be likely an accumulation or a load up of things. Tyrese Halliburton, speaking to Kevin Durant, he told Pat McAfee that Kevin Durant paid him a visit. What?
I don't think I'll feel the full weight of everything until next season starts, the guys start to come around, season starts, and I'm not able to perform. So I think that's the more so what we talk about more than anything. KD actually came and visited me the other day, came to my house, which was pretty cool. We sat down for a while, just talked. And
that's sick.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Good. I mean, if he has any type of the recovery that Kevin Durant had, that would be pretty amazing. Kevin Durant came back after a year, and it's like he never lost a step. Obviously, as he's gotten older, he's missed more games, but things still look pretty good for Kevin Durant. So Tyrese Halliburton, given his age, we know that this year is going to be a gap year for him. We will not see him. At least the Pacers have pretty much said as much. We get 1 year where they suck. They're terrible. But I think Tyrese Halliburton, I think he'll be fine. He's going to be 26 years old by the time February rolls around. He's 25 years old right now. So let's see what the Indiana Pacers do. Not going to say they're throwing a season, but who cares about the Pacers this year? Not I. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Lee is here from Cincinnati. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. Go ahead, Lee.
Hey, JR. Thanks for taking my call. And I've got to ask you something. You know all your callers. You know them well. You are probably the most knowledgeable person when it comes to sports, in my opinion, on the radio. That's why I listen to you every night. That's why I like you. But you also know who, like, you know who I'm a homer for, the Florida Gators. You know who all your callers are homers for. I'm not asking you who your team is, but are there any particular teams that you pull for yourself? Any ones that you'd like to see win? Any ones that
you have a big affinity for? It's different. It's different. Like, if you were to ask me, it's different when you work and you talk about it all day and you know people at the teams or whatnot. So I'll tell you this, being here in Atlanta, as nice as the Hawks have been to me professionally and personally over the years, like, I root for the Hawks. I got no shame in it. I'm also not stupid enough to just go, oh, I'm a home. Like, I ain't a homer for nobody. I'm not a homer for anybody. You know, I've done radio in New York City. I've done radio here locally in Atlanta. I will always tell the truth. I do not care. I do not get paid to, you know, pat somebody on the back at the local sports team. I just call it honest, but I got no problem rooting for the Hawks. Growing up, I love the New York Knicks. I don't feel the same way about them. I like the Falcons for the same damn reason as I like the Hawks. I like the Jets. Growing up, I root for the Jets. I also root for the Jets to be horrible and nice sometime. And so it's just different. It's different when you know the people behind the scenes, like having a different idea about who is in the Knicks or what I need from the Knicks or the response I may or may not get from the Knicks makes a little bit different for me just rooting for somebody because I actually know people that are there.
No, that makes all the sense in the world. That's how I probably figured it was with you. And so, like I said, I'm a stupid Gator homer. What I mean by stupid is I will follow them to the ends of the earth.
Yeah, don't do
that. I love them. Doesn't matter if they're good or bad.
Good luck. The way that you are. Good luck with Mr. Carson Beck. Good luck with him, okay?
All right. Well, thank you, but I'm going to tell you right. Well, thank you very much, JR, for being honest with me. And I love you. You got the best sports show there is. Trust me.
Well, thank you, Lee, for calling from Cincinnati. I appreciate you. Yeah, I don't care. I get paid to talk about sports. I love sports, but I'm not sis boom buying anybody. I do not care. I like the Yankees, too. Had to spend many a Saturdays and nights talking about the Yankees and listen to people complain about them. It's like, I just try to be, and I don't even say try. I'm just objective. Like, I ain't rooting for anybody enough. New York Jets ain't paying me no money. Yankees ain't giving me no cash. The Hawks ain't giving me no money. What I see is what I see, and I just go by what I see. Marco Belletti, that's the best that I can do, right?
100%. That's what we all have to do.
I wish they was giving me some of that money. Okay?
That'd be cool.
Right?
That'd be cool.
I'd be out here taking all the money. I'd pom-pom things to the high heavens if they're going to give me some money, but they don't.
No, they definitely don't. And if anything, fandom would probably make it come down harder on the team, I feel like, in our business, as opposed to being more pom-pom.
You think so? Being a fan of a team makes you, you're saying being a fan of a team makes you harder on that team?
It could skew you, yeah, because you get emotional and you get annoyed and you deal with your feelings, right, as opposed to dealing with, you know, what you're actually seeing.
There are people who I know personally in markets as it relates to talking about sports on the radio. You know, we, the good guys, all of that stuff for me personally.
Yeah.
I go, that's not my thing. They ain't no us here. They're not us. If it was us, you team would be giving me a check. I'd be ussing us to death if I got some money. But ain't no us. I am me and you are you over there. I ain't got nothing to do with you. Ain't no us.
No argument there. That I'm not a fan of.
Yeah, we got to do this. We got to do that. I can root for the team, but ain't no us. You know? But to each his own. Why are you laughing so hard?
No, I'm just like, because it almost feels like we're having the conversation of like a bad relationship. Yeah, there ain't no us. Okay? There's you, there's me. There ain't no us.
Yeah, ain't no us. Yeah. If we were tied to, if you XYZ team were write me a check, then we could be us. I'm paid to be me. You making billions of dollars over there being you. Maybe I'm in the wrong. And maybe I'm looking at it wrong, Marco. Maybe if it was us, I'd make more money. But I just call it how I see it. Simple as that.
Again, I'm with you. It's probably why we get yelled at as much as we do.
Yeah. Yeah. Just being honest. That's it. I don't know no other policy. Honesty is the best one. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Speaking of honesty, Mike Tyson was honest about Klay Thompson. So was Shaquille O'Neal. We'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. I'm going to shut up and I'm going to leave. But right now, it's time for a news flash. Here he is. You just heard him. Very honest. Marco Belletti.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. It's about that time. We've talked about guys who haven't showed up to work, people looking for future deals and future money on their contract. But it's time for us to go back in time. Today is July 22nd, the year 2025. And at the end of every JR Sport Brief Show, I bring to you a few things that took place this day in sports history.
In the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
It's time for this day in sports history.
You see, back in those days,
we had radio and you couldn't see anything, and it was primitive and lousy, and we liked it.
On the JR Sport Brief Show.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
July 22nd, 1993. Donnie Baseball, Don Mattingly, hit his 200th home run. Yankees ended up winning 12-1. That's a beat now. Listen to this home run, courtesy of Madison Square Garden Network.
Bottom of the seventh, the hit man is back. Mattingly blasting the Yankees' third three-run shot of the game, his eighth of the year, and it deserves a curtain call for number 200 of his career.
And Donnie Baseball. Everybody doesn't love Don Mattingly. Anyway, they smacked the Angels. That's what the Angels existed for, to get smacked around. July 22nd, 1994. Uh-oh, I remember this one. Not good. This damn thing took a year and a half. O.J. Simpson. He pled absolutely 100% not guilty of murder. Listen to this, courtesy of CNN.
You will have been in this proceeding convicted of more than one offense of murder in the first or second degree, within the meaning of Penal Code Section 190.283. Mr. Simpson, do you understand the charges as I've read them to you?
Yes.
And have you discussed those charges with your lawyer, sir?
Yes.
At this time, do you wish to enter a plea guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty.
Man, remember they used to have the trial on TV in the afternoon. I would finish with school and then watch the trial. Like, why am I watching OJ's trial? And then we know he was acquitted because they screwed up the evidence. And then they got him later for stealing his own memorabilia back. Now he's gone. Rest in peace, OJ Simpson, I guess. Well, rest somewhere, OJ Simpson. July 22nd. 1997, Greg Maddux, pinpoint precision. This guy threw a complete game with 78 pitches. He beat his old team, the Cubs, at Wrigley in Chicago. I guess he said, I'm going to make easy work of y'all. Listen to this, courtesy of MLB.
Banton moved on deck. That should do it. Ground ball to Lemke. He's got it. Greg Maddux has won his 14th game of the year. He did it with 78 pitches and only 15 of them missed the strike zone. One hit, no runs, no errors, one left. And folks, you just saw a great pitching performance.
Yeah, Greg Maddux just did what he wanted to do. Ironically, of course, you know, he would wear them glasses. And it's just like, what are we doing? The guy with the glasses is the most accurate pitcher we got out here? Of course he is. July 22nd, 2018, here in Atlanta, Georgia. The Atlanta Dream beat the Storm 87-74. That's not why it was important. But Sue Bird, she played in her record 500th WNBA game. And she played in a lot of games. Ultimately, she's played in more WNBA games than anybody who's ever existed. But listen to her talk about both her and Diana Taurasi just kind of leading the way for the next generation.
We kind of created the path that is now known as the norm. And it's something I value more than any championship. We're not the pioneers of the WNBA. That's the Lisa Leslies, the Cheryl Swoops. But in a lot of ways, we're part of the creation of that path. You always need someone to chase. And now I think there's going to be kids that come along who are trying to chase what we accomplished. And they're going to beat it, which is great. That's what legacy is.
Yeah, now they all hate her guts. It's not everybody. It's Caitlin Clark. Sue Bird played in 580 games. And she finished in 2022. And there you have it. A few things that took place this day in sports history. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. The phone line's open if you want to give me a holler before it's time to roll out. Sean is here from Oregon. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Sean?
Hey, JR. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I heard you talking about the NBA players tearing their Achilles and all that. And you know what I've noticed in the last several years is you don't see NBA players even wearing high-top tennis shoes anymore. And I just wondered if there's any kind of coincidence to that at all.
Yeah, possibly. Sean, thank you for calling from Oregon. Yeah, that's one of the theories that's been discussed. It's the type of shoes that the players wear. They're wearing low tops. Is it a way? I don't know. I'm not so sure. It's probably a combination of all of the above. How much basketball these guys play from when they're kids up until they make it to the pros. That's a lot of ball. And we got guys that are just playing basketball on Saturdays, five games at a time, just to showcase. Is it really necessary? Can you become a better basketball player by resting, by focusing in on certain skills? Do you have to be at an AAU showcase? We don't know. And there's not a doctor or a human being out here, I think, that has an answer at this particular moment. And maybe one day we will see this decline. That'd be nice. Nobody wants to see anybody getting hurt, especially on a rash of injuries. I do got to mention this before we get out of here. I'm pretty sure you've heard about Klay Thompson and his new relationship with Meg Thee Stallion. A lot of people are looking at this going, how the hell did Klay Thompson end up with her? But Klay Thompson is going out, hanging out on red carpets. He's in Instagram photos with her. And let's just say Shaquille O'Neal on his own podcast decided to kind of chime in. And one of his guests, well, his guest was Mike Tyson. They were sitting down with Adam Lefko. Shout outs to Lefko. And they were having a conversation about this relationship. And let's just say Mike Tyson, he don't know who Klay Thompson is.
Did you see the news about the new hot couple?
Who?
It is Klay Thompson and Megan Thee Stallion.
Who's Klay Thompson, though?
He plays basketball. He was in the Warriors. He's one of the greatest shooters of all time. He's now in the Dallas Mavericks.
Really?
And he's with Megan Thee Stallion.
6 weeks.
I'm going to say that.
You're setting the line at 6 weeks.
The line is 6 weeks.
So what Shaq is doing, he's setting the line, our DraftKings Sportsbook line, at the summer.
Six weeks.
You don't see it lasting into the fall.
6 weeks.
Listen, man, she got shot for that. That might be last for a long time. You know, 6 weeks ain't nothing. So you got shot, so you gotta give her some credit, right? You gotta give her a little credit that he might got some staying power with that nigga.
Oh man, Mike Tyson, what a guy. Goodness gracious. Anyway, yeah, he's referring to the time Megan Thee Stallion got shot in the foot, has some bullet fragments in her feet, but that's a different story for another day. Shaquille O'Neal thinks the relationship will last 6 weeks. Klay Thompson has gone through, I don't know who these women are, but they're apparently models. So Klay Thompson has been busy. Now he's busy with Megan Thee Stallion. How long they are busy, I have no idea. Klay Thompson, sooner than later, he'll be sitting around with Cooper Flagg. He won't have as much free time on his hands. And also, by the way, not a surprise that Mike Tyson doesn't know who Klay Thompson is. That sounds kind of... I've never heard Mike Tyson talk about no damn basketball. Botch, are you surprised he doesn't know who Klay Thompson is?
I'm not at all. But, he's from... Where does he reside? Like, Vegas, West Coast? So he should kind of know who he is.
Do you know how lost in time you could get being in Vegas?
That's true, but I feel like there has to be a few run-ins with Klay Thompson in Vegas.
I don't think Mike Tyson runs in that those type of circles. I don't think so. Mike Tyson is also the type of guy where the world, when he goes out or does something, it revolves around him. It's not the other way around. I can't remember the last time I've seen Mike Tyson at an NBA game. I think that guy, he's selling the green. He's selling marijuana. Mike Tyson is either high with his family or making money or trying to make money. And God bless him for all the things that he's dealt with in his life, the ups, the downs, the jail and whatnot. It was a point in time where he had no money. And so I don't think, not a surprise, he has no idea who Klay Thompson is. Anyway, thank you so much to James Rapien for joining us earlier in the show to talk about these Cincinnati Bengals. We'll be back tomorrow to bring you a new top six list, of course. That's what we do every Wednesday. If you missed a minute of this show, you can go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. You can find me online. I exist on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. I'm at JR Sport Brief. Hey, don't use your phone while you're driving. Be safe for you and the people on the road too, okay? I'll catch you tomorrow. Be safe, be well. The JR Sport Brief show is done. Don't move. Bart Winkler coming up next on the Infinity Sports Network.
Ready to take the next step in your career? The Bryan School of Business and Economics at UNC Greensboro offers a range of affordable, fully online undergraduate programs designed to prepare you for in-demand business roles. With flexible courses, dedicated faculty, and a strong return on investment, it's a smart choice for your future. Develop the skills employers want and gain the confidence to stand out in today's competitive job market. Apply now to start in the fall. Visit bryan.uncg.edu.